Join me in prayer, please. Our Father, as we approach your word this morning, I just pray that you would speak to us. We pray, Lord, that your sanctifying power would continue to change us, that we would relinquish self and cling to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to the 12th chapter of Hebrews. And as we finish off with verse 29, it is an appropriate end to the chapter. It's a short verse. It says, "For our God is a consuming fire." And it sums up all of chapter 12. As we think about chapter 12, it starts off by telling us that we are in a race. And as we are in this race of faith, we are to cast off our sin and we are to look unto Jesus. It then progresses and gives us a warning in Hebrews chapter 12 that if we get off of the path of the Lord, that we could suffer the chastening of the Lord. And God chastens us as a loving Father to get us back on track. And through that chastening, we are to yield the fruit of righteousness. There is a purpose in the chastening of the Lord. The writer then goes on and he contrasts the old covenant with the new covenant. He does this by comparing Mount Sinai to Mount Zion, and that we are in a special relationship with the Lord through this new covenant. In fact, Hebrews 12:22 says, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant and the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." You and I have a special relationship as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ as we partake in that new covenant. Then the chapter tells us that we have a new kingdom, and in that new kingdom there will be the destruction of the earth, and that you and I should be kingdom-minded as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 28 says that, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." So it's only fitting after that wonderful chapter that the writer closes with, "Our God is a consuming fire." Why is this statement so significant? Well, if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it is significant because as a non-believer, you will face eternal fire. Judgment is at hand. And in fact, as John the Baptist was introducing the world to Jesus Christ, he says this in Luke 3, verse 16. John said, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Hell is real for people who are not followers of Jesus Christ, and they will face a life of eternal torment. It used to be where people say, "Do you want to have eternal life?" Somehow that was only limited to those who are believers, but the soul lives for eternity, whether or not you are in heaven or hell. For those that are hell, you will live eternally in hell, and you will suffer eternal torment. And in fact, in Revelation 20, verse 11, John wrote this. He said, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and anyone found not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Hell is real, and it is something that as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ that we should be telling our friends and family who do not believe and our neighbors who do not believe about the gospel of Jesus Christ, because through Christ is the only way to escape the fires of hell. Our God is a consuming fire. Last week while I was out, I knew the congregation sang the Battle Hymn of the Republic, and it's a wonderful hymn because in that last verse, the writer says, "Give me one more minute, give me one more day to tell others about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how we can be saved in Jesus Christ, how we can escape the judgment of God through the blood of Jesus Christ." Sometimes the preaching of hell gets a negative rap where people say, "Well, you're just scaring people into heaven." But I would say that there's not enough preaching about hell these days, where people need to recognize that our God is a consuming fire and there is eternal consequences, and the only way to escape it is Jesus Christ. And we should be serious about telling others about Jesus Christ. It should be our mission as a church to go out during the week and to tell others about Jesus Christ, because He is the answer. And our God is a consuming fire. Let's talk about the application of fire. As we look at the reference that I read in Revelation with the end of times in the great white throne judgment, we see all of those people in all of history who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, as they are cast into the lake of fire. And it's a fire of punishment, isn't it? It's a fire of judgment. And those people will endure that. But the fire of judgment that you see in Revelation is different than the fire that you see in Malachi, as it refers to Jesus Christ, because in Malachi, the fire of refining is different than the fire of judgment. Because in Malachi 3, the refining fire, that's for you and me. See, there's a purpose. Why does the refiner have a fire? It's to make a beautiful piece of jewelry. It's to take the dross out of the metal and end up with something that's fine and pure. And that's what the analogy here is that as God applies the fire in our life, it is to take away the dross in our life and move us more and more to righteousness, so that we may glorify God in our life and in our action. You see that in 1 Peter chapter 1. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you will, to the first chapter of 1 Peter. And we're going to look at verse 6. And this is just one example of how God refines. Peter wrote this, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." See, sometimes as we go through various trials, those trials test our faith by fire. Isn't that what a testimony is? Is you think about people that give their testimony and they say, "I have walked through this certain situation and I rested in the Lord and the Lord brought me through it and I am a better person in Christ Jesus because of it." Isn't that refining fire? It is, isn't it? See, that's why testimonies are so important. Because testimonies are proof that the Lord uses circumstances in our life and He refines us. And our lives become to the praise of His glory as He uses fire to refine us. There's another example of fire that we face as believers, and that's the judgment seat of Christ. And I can really get hung up on preaching about this because it is a pet peeve of mine that it's not preached enough. There's two judgments. There's the judgment of non-believers where the books are opened and everyone's judged according to their sinful acts. And there's a range of punishment. And then there's the judgment seat of Christ, that you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that we stand before Christ and we're judged by our actions and our faith, and there's rewards. See, there's no pass-fail. In other words, as you go through classes in college, you can take something pass-fail, right? You don't get to count the GPA scoring, but you get to go through and you either make it out or you don't. And people look at their eternal life and they think that eternal life is pass-fail in heaven, that yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you get to heaven and it's like communism. Everybody's treated the same, but that's not what the Bible says. See, there is a judgment seat of Christ that we all appear, and God is a just God, and if God is a just God, He is a just God in hell as He appropriates the punishment to non-believers in hell, and He's a just God in heaven as He gives rewards that are appropriate to how one lived their life. It is a clear scriptural teaching. And as we think about the fire that's applied to us as believers, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If we look at verse 9, and Paul tells the church at Corinth this. He goes, "For we are God's fellow workers." Now let's stop right there. That's everybody, right? If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, that's us. If you were Paul writing the church of Corinth, it's the church of Corinth, everybody that believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is written to believers. It's only written to believers. "For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it is revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. See, it's clear. As you and I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, as we stand before a just and a holy and a righteous God, those things that we have laid up for ourselves in heaven will endure and we will receive reward. Those things that we've wasted our life with, they're not eternal. It's gone. It's the refiner's fire. It's gone. See, Christ tells us to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as we recognize that our God is a consuming fire, that He is the refiner's fire, we need to recognize that we need to spend our time, we need to direct our energies, we need to direct our priorities to serving the living God, because at the end, anything here on earth that we think is important is gone. Is gone. It's just Jesus Christ. It makes sense, right? If God is a holy and righteous God, if He can't stand sin, if He only can love righteousness, at the end of time, think about it, after everything here on earth is destroyed, and as the people that do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are put into hell, and the only thing that is left are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He has made completely holy at the end of time through glorification, all you have left is holiness. That's all you have. The only thing that survives is holy. He's a consuming fire. And at the end, He's consumed everything that isn't holy. So therefore, I need and you need to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven. We need to be heavenly minded. Now, I'm fixing to show my age, and I know that you can relate to this as well. Remember layaway? Every time I think about lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, I think about layaway. Layaway was a great thing because, this is just my personal take, because layaway wasn't on credit, was it? You picked out something that you couldn't afford, but you could pay down on it per month. And then at the ascribed time, after you said, okay, well, I'm going to make 10 payments, what did you get? They went behind the counter or went into a room and they put whatever you had put down on layaway and they brought it out for you. And you took it home. And it gave you a sense of satisfaction, right? Because you had made those payments and you paid down on it over time and then you got it. Eternal life's a little bit like that, when you think, as you think about laying up for yourselves treasures in heaven. We get joy, we get earthly joy by serving the Lord, but the eternal rewards, they're laid up. And as you live your life, and as you think about this, as you string together a life dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ, and as you walk with the Lord, and as you serve Him, and as you obediently follow Him, and as you serve the Lord in whatever capacity that you can and whatever gift that you've been given, you're laying up. It's just like layaway. You lay up, and then when you get to heaven, what happens? You get that crown. Because, see, God is a holy and a just God, and the only thing that's left, the only thing that's left is that eternal reward And then what do you do with that crown? You cast it at the feet of Jesus Christ. He is a consuming fire. Will you join me in prayer? Father, we just thank You this morning for Your wonderful Word. And I just pray that we might live our life with the hope and with the eternal calling that one day we will stand before You and that You're a holy and a just God. And I pray that we'd live our life knowing that one day we'll stand before You as a believer and we'll give an account for the actions in our life. And I just pray that we would live our life faithfully and true, and that we'd live our life knowing that we are to glorify You. I pray that we'd lay all of the things that distract us in our life to the side, that we cast off the sin in our life, we cast off the distractions, and that we'd focus on You. I pray, Lord, that for those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would surrender all today and take You as Savior and Lord, ask for forgiveness of sins in their life, and become a believer, and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that we might long to hear the words from You, "Well done." In Jesus' name, amen.